sisters in Christ, greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus. It is good to be with you, church, and we're going to wrap up our life support series today. And to do that, we will first view our scripture. So what's going to play in a bit is a word-for-word rendition of John, the whole Gospel of John. But we'll just watch most of chapter 11. Sometimes it's good to read and reread big pieces, small pieces, meditate on it. Sometimes it's good to hear the word of the Lord. Sometimes it's good to view it. So, and I think this is pretty well made. So we'll start this, and then we'll dig right into it.
A man named Lazarus, who lived in Bethany, became sick. Bethany was the town where Mary and her sister Martha lived. This Mary was the one who poured the perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. It was her brother, Lazarus, who was sick. The sisters sent Jesus the message, "Lord, your dear friend is sick." When Jesus heard it, he said, "The final result of this sickness will not be the death of Lazarus. This has happened in order to bring glory to God, and it will be the means by which the Son of God will receive glory." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he received the news that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea."
"Teacher, just a short time ago the people there wanted to stone you. And are you planning to go back?"
"A day has 12 hours, doesn't it? So those who walk in broad daylight do not stumble, for they see the light of this world. But if they walk during the night, they stumble, because they have no light. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go and wake him up."
"If he is asleep, Lord, he will get well."
Jesus meant that Lazarus had died, but they thought he meant natural sleep. So Jesus told them plainly,
"Lazarus is dead. But for your sake, I am glad that I was not with him, so that you will believe. Let us go to him."
Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples,
"Let us all go along with the teacher, so that we may die with him."
When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had been buried 4 days before. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Judeans had come to see Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother's death. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house.
"If you had been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask him for."
"Your brother will rise to life."
"I know that he will rise to life on the last day."
"I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live, even though they die. And those who live and believe in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
"I do believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world."
After Martha said this, she went back and called her sister Mary privately.
"Mary, teacher is here and is asking for you.
When Mary heard this, she got up and hurried out to meet him. Jesus had not yet arrived in the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. The people who were in the house with Mary, comforting her, followed her when they saw her get up and hurry out. They thought that she was going to the grave to weep there. Mary arrived where Jesus was, and as soon as she saw him, she fell at his feet. Jesus saw her weeping, and he saw how the people with her were weeping also. His heart was touched, and he was deeply moved.
Where have you buried him?
Come and see, Lord.
Jesus wept. See how much he loved him, the people said. But some of them said, he gave sight to the blind man, didn't he? Could he not have kept Lazarus from dying? Deeply moved once more, Jesus went to the tomb, which was a cave with a stone placed at the entrance.
Take the stone away.
There will be a bad smell, Lord. He has been buried 4 days.
Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed?
They took the stone away. Jesus looked up.
I thank you, Father, that you listen to me. I know that you always listen to me. But I say this for the sake of the people here, so that they will believe that you sent me.
After he had said this, he called out in a loud voice,
Lazarus! Come out!
His hands and feet wrapped in grave clothes and with a cloth round his face.
Untie him and let him go.
Many of the people who had come to visit Mary saw what Jesus did, and they believed in him.
Was that powerful for anyone else? Oh, man. The resurrection of Lazarus in John 11 is the first resurrection of all time. Even before God raised Jesus the Christ from the dead to save humanity from sin and death, Christ Jesus first performed a resurrection to demonstrate for the world that he is the resurrection and the life. and nobody even sees it coming. Even right up until the moment before Jesus performs a resurrection miracle, when Jesus ordered for the stone to be removed from the mouth of the grave, there is still a balk of disbelief. Martha says, basically, what are you thinking? Lazarus has been dead 4 days. The decomposition process is well underway, and the corpse will have a strong stench. But Jesus said to her, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed? I have one simple question. When did Jesus say this to Martha? In Christ's earlier conversation with Martha, the one that started with Martha saying, if you had been here, Lord, my brother would not have died, Jesus didn't talk about seeing God's glory if she believed. The subject of God's glory is not in that conversation. So when did Jesus talk to Martha about being able to see God's glory if she believed? The only time Jesus says such a thing is when Mary and Martha's messenger comes to Jesus. The sisters sent Jesus a message, Lord, your dear friend is sick. When Jesus heard it, he said, the final result of this sickness will not be the death of Lazarus. This has happened in order to bring glory to God, and it will be the means by which the Son of God will receive glory. Who was Jesus speaking to when he said this? It's a little ambiguous, but we can deduce fairly soundly that Jesus said this to the messengers, which then got carried and relayed back to the sisters. What this means then is that Jesus promised Mary and Martha the final result of this sickness will not be the death of Lazarus. And Jesus promised this when Lazarus was still alive. Mary and Martha were given a promise by Jesus Christ. Yet these women were conflicted between their reality, not just perceived reality. Their brother really was dead. They were conflicted between their reality in their crisis and grief, on the one hand, and on the other, believing the truth of Jesus. So the message from Jesus comes back to Mary and Martha. The final result of the sickness will not be the death of Lazarus, but Lazarus gets worse. What do the sisters do? There's the promise of Jesus, and then there is something undeniably real before them that is opposite. The final result of this sickness will not be the death of Lazarus, but Lazarus does die. The final result of this sickness will not be the death of Lazarus, and yet Jesus knows that Lazarus has died. For he tells his disciples, even before he leaves, that this has happened. And 4 days later, Jesus finally arrives. So, how do the sisters handle this? They have their crisis. They have the words of Jesus. There's some tension. When they get a chance to converse with Christ, they both said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. What do we hear in those statements? It's too late. We believe that you could have done something when he was alive and very, very ill, but it's too late now. It's important to understand their conception of death and dying. Ancient Israel was a culture in which the division between sickness and death was less clear than it seems to us, and fewer victims of serious illness survived. Medical technology was still very primitive, after all. And so, in their minds, if someone was very sick and slipping into death, they could, on a miraculous occasion, be resuscitated from death within a 2-day period of being seriously ill. Resuscitations had happened before, as recorded in the Old Testament. There is Elijah who resuscitates a child, and Elisha also who resuscitates a young boy. We also see Jesus performing a few resuscitations of young children, one of which is in John 4. So Mary and Martha believed that Jesus could have done something like a resuscitation. He could have resuscitated Lazarus in a 2-day time frame, but death was the end. And we hear this from the crowd also. He opened the eyes of the blind. Couldn't he have performed a resuscitation, essentially? Now, if one were dead for 3 days or longer, then they were good and dead. Again, there wasn't an EKG back in the day. Boop, 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 boo. They couldn't tell the precise moment. So it was 2 days, there's hope. 3 days or more, they're gone. There is scriptural witness to this concept. In Hosea 6:2, we read, God will revive us after 2 days. God will raise us up on the 3rd day that we may live before him. God enabled a few people to perform resuscitations, but God alone could perform a resurrection. And this, Martha does believe. I believe that Lazarus will rise again on the last day. Yeah. Despite Jesus' promise, Mary and Martha's crisis and Jesus' timeline are disjointed. Jesus waited 2 days before he left. Now, if he had left right when he got that message, it would have still been really close for a resuscitation miracle. But Jesus waited 2 days, and then he journeyed the 2-day, 20-mile trek. And when he rolls into town, Lazarus has been buried. It's been 4 days. But didn't Jesus say the final result of this sickness will not be the death of Lazarus? This has happened in order to bring God, to bring glory to God, and it will be the means by which the Son of God will receive glory. One definition of glory is to light up brilliantly. And so Jesus, like a halogen floodlight, is shining brilliantly in this moment to convey that he is God and what God does. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus, all of his actions are intentional. He doesn't get sidetracked. He doesn't forget. He doesn't just lackadaisically get there whenever he wants to. He is intentional. In order to perform a resurrection, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed? Jesus said to Martha. And then he cries out, Lazarus, come out. And he did. Lazarus emerged from the grave. In the case of Lazarus, Jesus intentionally delayed in coming in order that he might perform a resurrection miracle. And again, no one even saw it coming. Because as God says, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Mary and Martha did realize in the end that with God, death is not the end. This is a real and tough tension, though. It's a tension that Jesus enters in with us. Okay, so Jesus meets the sisters where they are. Each sister says the same thing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Word for word. But the conversations, Jesus' response and the subsequent conversations are completely different. Why? Because not only does Jesus die to purchase a bride, a body, a church, to redeem a people, but we also come to faith, which is a grace, individually. And Jesus knows us individually by name. And so he interacts with every person individually. With Martha, he knew behind that statement, she needed a theological conversation. She needed to wrestle with it doctrinally. And so they talk about resurrection at the end of time and the Messiah coming into the world and how this interlocks and works together. And do you believe this? I believe that you're Messiah. How about resurrection and life? And then with Mary, it's not so much a conversation as he enters her grieving. He weeps. I wish the picture was darker. It's all good though, because there was like a few tears right on cue. Jesus is stirred deeply. The text says twice, and he weeps because Mary is sobbing. There's this life and death tension. The disciples feel it. Wait a minute, you got death threats in Jerusalem last time we were there, and we're going to go to the village right next door? Are you sure? And then Thomas is like, well, okay, it's been real. Let's all be martyrs now. Let's all go to our death. And Jesus has been met with opposition, and the narrator tells us, even if they don't know it, but they probably do, that those in authority are plotting to kill Jesus. So every restoration of life and giving of new life is met with, let's take Jesus' life away. Jesus is in this tension also. He's not impervious to this. Even after Lazarus is resurrected, the authorities want to put Lazarus to death. We read that in the very next chapter. People are coming in droves believing in Jesus. Let's kill him. This is threatening our nation, our temple. In fact, here's some evidence. Let's kill Lazarus too. There's the reality of death, death threats. And then there is the promise of Jesus. He is the resurrection and the life. Jesus gives glory to God with this resurrection miracle, but it is also the means by which he receives glory for himself. And of course, Jesus is resurrected. When God sends the Spirit to raise Jesus from the dead. And you know why it says over and over and over and over and over and over and over again in the New Testament on the third day? Because it's empirical fact that it was a death and therefore resurrection versus a grave illness and a resuscitation. According to the scriptures, on the third day. Which scriptures? Oh yeah, Hosea 6:2. On the third day, he will raise us to new life. Why did Jesus resurrect Lazarus? Aside from all the glory and the sign, in this passage, we read that it is so that people will believe. Over and over again, there's so they believe, so that they will believe. But another reason Jesus resurrects Lazarus is because, well, he loved him. They were friends. Jesus had a relationship with these three siblings, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Lazarus was his friend. Jesus performing a miraculous resurrection for Lazarus also foreshadows Jesus' own resurrection and the same reason for it, love. This is how we know what love is, 1 John 3:16. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. What is definition of love? You look it up in the theological dictionary, it is, oh, Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. The greatest love you can have for your friends is to give your life for them, Jesus said. Lazarus was Jesus' friend. Jesus also, by the end of the disciples becoming fully trained, going from apprentice to like their teacher, says, okay, now you're my friends. You've been my disciples, you've been my apprentices, now you're my friends. You've gotten there. Jesus loves and dies for his friends, his disciples. Jesus also said, you are my friends if you do what I command. This then is what I command you. Love one another. Amen. Jesus, we do believe that you are the resurrection and the life. We thank you that that in the tension between knowing and believing that and our lived reality of sickness and death, that while these things seem to be mutually exclusive, that you meet us, converse with us, and walk with us through these tensions. Indeed, that you walk with us from death, as in being dead to sin, to alive, entering into eternal life with you. Even as in the natural realm, there is life and then death, that you also meet us, converse with us, and walk with us through. Despite these tensions, may we know that you love your friends, your disciples, and that you demonstrated the greatest act of love by giving your life for us. May we emulate your love by giving our life for you and for our friends. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, and those who do not yet, but we prayed will believe that you are the resurrection and the life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.